Christian Warriors Faith Living Bible Study Lesson Number 74. Open your Bibles once again to Psalm 23. We're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. We saw in the last class how Dr. Harry Ironside, great Bible teacher of the last century, writer on many books of the Bible, devotional commentary, and professor at Dallas Theological Seminary in the last years of his life. Dr. Ironside pointed out that many people love the 23rd Psalm. It's probably the most quoted psalm around. Known psalm, but do they really believe it? Do they really believe it in time of battle, time of trouble, time of struggles, that this psalm is for them? Is there faith there in this psalm, in this shepherd? Do they really believe the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Lack of nothing. I challenge you, do you believe it? I challenge myself. This is the day that the Lord hath made. How many times have I told you we should begin the day thinking this way? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad. And it's not always easy. We're getting old. We get tired. You're young. You get tired. You're under pressure. All kinds of things are going on in your life. My phone rings. I talk to a man. His wife had left him and took his children and divorcing him. Another phone call. Another man. His wife's divorcing him. He'd been counseled by a Christian pastor and his wife. Encouraged him to get out of this marriage with a psycho husband she's got, so to speak. Where's the verse? What do we do with what God has joined together? Let no man put asunder. Divorce is rampant in our country. Believers and unbelievers alike. Pastors are no different. A lot of divorced pastors here. I'm not condemning divorce or defending it either one. I'm stating the fact. I understand the grace of God can forgive all of our sins, but I'm saying there's chaos in this world today, and you face the pressures and problems of it. What do you do? Do you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Do you reach in when you get up in the morning and grab a hold of Psalm 118:24 and say, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Do you get up every day and say that Jeremiah was right when he looked those men that were headed out for the death march? 119th Psalm, and said, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. The soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The literary form of the Lamentations 3 is necessarily obscure in the translation. It is an acrostic dirge. The lines are arranged in couplets or triplets, each of which began with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In the third lament, which consists of 66 stanzas, instead of 22, each line of each triplet becomes beginning with the same letter, so that the entire 66 verses are required to give the 22 letters of the alphabet. Thus, verses 1 to 3 and our translations form but three lines of the original, each line beginning with an A. Ours begins, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of the wrath. He that hath led me and brought me up into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. So we have letters starting with I, H, and S, but they start with the alpha. In the Hebrew, we have the great poet here, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was a poet. Lamentations, we have the acrostic dirge, as we said in front of us here. We come to those beautiful blessings. This I recall in my mind, therefore I have a hope it is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Why? Because he's the shepherd. He was the shepherd of Israel. He's our shepherd. There are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. What did the shepherd do? The shepherd comes to the fold and calls out his flock. He leadeth his flock. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is my portion. What did we have? What did we study in the last class? Lay down beside the still waters. Fatted lambs, satisfied, and sheep. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good for a man should both wait. Both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's what it means in the 23rd Psalm, waiting quietly and hoping. All right, before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and have absolute objectivity for the teaching of the Word of God. Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. We pray that each one will concentrate to the maximum, that they will be filled with the Spirit, that they may truly grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you will remember, in the last class, I point out to you, the 23rd Psalm is so ordered. As to apply to a dying Christ, or to a saint who follows his footsteps, or to the preserved remnant of Israel. For Christ, Jehovah, was his shepherd in his human nature. He followed the Father. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God, he says in Hebrews chapter 10. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, not my will, thine be done. Now he has taken the shepherd's position over us. The Father has given him this office, this appointment. Now remember, the psalm was written by David, but it was written under verbal plenary inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 2:3-16-17. All Scripture, King James says, is given by inspiration of God. Literally, all Scripture is God-breathed and is given for doctrinal teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My doctrinal translation of that verse. We point out that Psalm 23 does not consider the sufferings of Christ, nor does it consider the sufferings of you and I, nor does it consider the sufferings of the faithful of Israel, or of any man, but as mere facts and occasions of Jehovah's care. The subject is, Jehovah is my shepherd. Or Yahweh, if you prefer, J-H-V-H, the tetragrammaton. There's the argument over the Hebrew between the two groups of people, and I don't get into it. Jehovah, or Yahweh, is my shepherd, the constant unfailing care exercised by him. It is a life spent under his care and eye. Come what will, the experience it affords and the assurance that Jehovah's love gives to the end and forever. It is not what he gives which assures the heart, but himself. I want you to notice this. It doesn't say, the Savior is my shepherd. It says, Jehovah is my shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. He is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. He's truly God, he's truly man, in both. As the God-man, he is our shepherd, seated at the right hand of the Father in his resurrection glorified body. He will eternally be both God and man. But he came down to this earth and took upon himself the form of a man. The 23rd Psalm teaches us how to live a life that is spent under God's care, Jehovah's care. And we could say to the Jew, but to us we could say to Jehovah Jesus. Because he said, I am the great I am, all these things, where I am the good shepherd. So it is as the God-man I am that he is our shepherd, seated at the right hand of the Father in glory. Our Christian life is to be spent under his care and his concern, his love, and his watchful eye, as well as that of the Father. Come whatever will in our life, the experience it affords and the assurance of Jehovah's love gives to the end and forever. How many times have you heard me quote from Jeremiah, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Taught you that chesed should be translated unfailing love. The everlasting, unfailing love of God is manifested in the word chesed in the Hebrew. Chesed. That's what we need to hold on to. God loves us with an unfailing love, and God is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So it is not what he gives to us which assures the heart, but it is the person himself. He cares. He loves us. I shall not want. The Lord Jesus Christ, unto me all power is given, it says. So he's got the power of it. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John 1 writes. And tells us, so therefore, since all power is given to Christ, and since grace and truth came from Christ, by Christ, and we know that the power and grace is there. He is the good shepherd. We saw that, could see the beloved shepherd. Goodness flows forth from him, it's intrinsic of his soul. Interest in the faithful one is all assured, assurance of all circumstances forever and always. When we line up our interest with the interest of God, everything lines up. Our prayers are answered when we pray in accordance with his will, 1 John 5 teaches. The Lord Jesus Christ has undertaken and has charged himself with the care of the faithful ones. The person of God the Son has, under the authority of the Father's plan. Therefore, we cannot want. We say that God has taken responsibility for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we're the part of his body. We belong to his mystical body. The head does the thinking. The head does the planning. So therefore, we're not to think of what may come tomorrow, because our omniscient head knows everything that's going to happen to us. We're not to worry about what means may be employed for us or against us tomorrow. Let God take care of that. The shepherd's care is our assurance. The natural fruit of this care is fresh and green pastures and security. Peaceful enjoyment of sure refreshments of goodness. When in fact man, specifically the remnant of Israel and believers in the church age both, and even our Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he was upon the earth in his human body, found themselves in the midst, and we continue to find ourselves in the midst of oppression, of sorrow and death, in the presence of mighty enemies. This old body of mine is falling apart, bit by bit. Am I to complain? No. If I'd taken better care of it, would I be in better shape? Not necessarily. I admit I could have took better care of it at times. I think of people who appear to be in perfect health and they died young. All kind of things. God decides the valleys he's going to take us through and the trials and trails through which we're going to go, either through his directive will or his permissive will. If we're out in sin, he's chastening us. But even if the Lord Jesus Christ leads us down into the valley of the shadow of death, is death to cast its dark gloom over the spirit that must go down into the shade. He is there, greater than death, to guide and sustain. I'll be giving you an example when we come to that verse and our overall look at the pattern. We've got a lot. This chapter's got so much stuff in it, I don't want to miss anything. But I've got an example of a man, his wife of 60-plus years, and how the Lord took her home and how he was there and what happened. Lord Jesus Christ is there, greater than death, to guide and sustain. He's there when our powerful and relentless enemies are around us that alarm us and threaten us. They're powerless before him. We need to relax. He dresses a table for his beloved where they sit down in safety and secure. Divine unction is a seal of power when all is against us. Human weakness, death, and spiritual powers of wickedness all are only the occasions to show more evidently that Jehovah the Shepherd is the infallible safeguard of his people. We point out to you that Christ was not a sheep. But he trod the paths of the chief have trod, and he tread those paths as the Lamb of God. He trusted in Jehovah. Today he is the Jehovah Shepherd of them that are his. He loves us. Jehovah Jesus is our shepherd. As Jehovah loved and cared for the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, it is in the sure care of Jehovah, God the Son, through all that beset human nature in his past to this world. Think about it. As the Father took care of the Son is committed to take care of us. The 23rd Psalm is missed so often in the reality of it. They pick up a Bible and they see somebody like Schofield pointing out that there is a trilogy of Psalms there. And then we need to take the three in order, 22, 23, and 24, and understand them. And when we see Jesus in there first. So first we see Jehovah the Father over Jesus. And then we see Jesus in resurrection body, Jehovah Jesus, over us as a shepherd. Now, if he took Christ through the cross, if he took Christ through the valley of the shadow of death, if he took him through the grave, if he took him through the resurrection, he will take us through the valley of death if necessary. If the rapture didn't occur first, he will take us through the grave. And he will take us through the resurrection. And the Lord himself shall ascend with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him in the air, evermore to be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another in these words. The Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah's shepherd of them that are his. He loves us as Jehovah loved and cared for him. It's the sure care of Jehovah through all that besets human nature in its path through this world. The natural proper fruit of this care is green pastures and security of peace. But in a man's ruined state, as the path he has tread in the midst of the powers of evil are infallibly sustaining power. American Standard Version of Psalm 23. I want you to familiarize yourself with this psalm so emphatically. I've given you the King James, the New American Standard, and the Darby Translation. We'll look at it from the American Standard. Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. The shepherds were an abomination unto the Egyptians, Genesis 40:6:34. Shepherd the stone of Israel, Genesis 49:24. The land of shepherds, Exodus 2:19, Zephaniah 2:6. Shepherds of Nabal are seen in 1 Samuel 22:5. A shepherd prophet is Amos in Amos 1:1. A sheep they have not. A shepherd in 1 Kings 22:17. 2 Chronicles 18:16. Matthew 9:36 and 25:32. We'll be back to see some more of this. Jesus the Good Shepherd is seen in John 10:11, 12, 14, 18, Hebrews 13:20, 1 Peter 1:2:25. Jesus the Chief Shepherd of Jehovah in Matthew 26:31, Mark 14:27, 1 Peter 5:4. Job was a shepherd of Israel, as seen in Numbers 27:17, Psalm 23:1, 80:1, Ecclesiastes 12:11, Isaiah 40:11, 44:28, Jeremiah 31:10, 49:19, Ezekiel 34:5, 8:12, 37:24, Zechariah 10:2, 11:16, and 17. We see the pattern of the shepherds of Judea in Luke 2:8, 15, 18, and 20, those who were there at Christ's birth. We see the shepherds of Assyria in Nahum 3:18. We see the worthless shepherd of Zechariah 11:17 and 2 John 10:12. I'm sorry. John 10:12 and 13. I said 2 John. It's John 10:12 and 13. We see the brother of Joseph shepherds in Genesis 46:32 and 47:3, and the daughters of Midian delivered from the shepherds in Exodus 2:17. So the shepherds are there. The issue of the shepherd is there used. And he writes, Job is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guideth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. The Lord had his blessings to the reading of his word. Now, we see then the shepherd. I gave you the shepherd concepts there in the some verses on it. You can look up on your own. What we have to do is consider the writer of the psalm is saying, what David is saying, and what he speaks to us in our dispensation, which David did not understand, but which the Holy Spirit behind him did understand. Christ is our Jehovah Shepherd. He loves us as Jehovah loved and cared for him. It is the sure care of Jehovah through all that beset human nature in his path through this world. The natural proper fruit of this care is green pastures and the security of peace. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That means we've eaten enough. We're satisfied. He leadeth me beside still waters. We can drink from waters that will not harm us. Waters that are peaceful. The man in a ruined state, the path he has tread, the midst of the powers of evil, infallible sustaining power can be brought up to us from God as we walk down there. We walk around the ruins of this world. They're watching the United States like Rome of old die. And we've become a world power. And people are so proud about the fact that we have become a multicultural nation. Multi this, multi that, they say. Look at us. Spiritually, we're dying. We're following the path of the other Gentile nations. We had to be like the other nations. God allowed us to have a constitution and be different. Every day I pick up the paper and I read where judges issue judicial orders where they have a constitutional right to it. The Washington State Supreme Court has ordered the Washington State Legislature to put more money into the public school systems, the government schools, I call them. Now, according to the Washington State Constitution, we have a separation of powers between the judiciary, the legislature, and the executive. The judiciary said to the legislature, you got to do this. Get with it. You haven't done it. They pressed them hard because they haven't done what they told them to do, the way they wanted them to do it. The governor issues an executive order. It was in the paper yesterday for something he's going to do related to our area, our state here. I think it was the area of emissions and stuff like that. on cars and things, or factories, I guess it was, and stuff for clean air. Executive orders. People are going around issuing orders. If the Constitution don't mean anything, whether they be state or national, the president issues an executive order. The constitutional unique republic of which we found, and nobody talks about a republic anymore, they call it a democracy. There's not the word democracy is never found in the Articles of Confederation. I'm sorry, I should say the Declaration of Independence and the Articles of Confederation. In the Constitution, you don't find the word democracy, but that's the word that's used and tossed around. I'm not talking politics. I'm just letting you understand something, but it doesn't matter. God has been kicked out of everything publicly that they could kick him out of in this country. Can't pray in school, can't do this, can't do that, can't read the Bible publicly, can't do all these different things, so-called separation of church and state. We paganized a nation that was influenced by the Word of God originally. But does that change Christ as our shepherd? No. Rome was a pagan nation when the church was founded. Don't ever forget that. He leadeth us beside the still waters. He can lead us through the ruins of this world system. Hence, in the cardia, the Greek word for heart, useless place of trust, we learn to trust the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path, Proverbs teaches us. Jehovah reckons on the future. It is certain and secure as the past. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and the house of Jehovah receives me forever. Our confidence is in Jehovah Himself. Our confidence is in Jehovah Jesus, our Redeemer, and through Him, Jehovah Father. The Son to the Father. Therefore, all circumstances and the whole power of evil and difficulties of mortal man included in them are but occasions of Jehovah's power, interest, and infallible faithfulness in carrying the faithful through. We read Hebrews 11, and we look at it and we say, can God not take me through? Look what He did in Hebrews 11. It's interesting to see this tier of divine power holding its place in infallible certainty over all the special sufferings and trials and death of the Lord. This is the faithful man's blessings when the earth is not Jehovah's. The whole world lieth in the wicked one, we're told, when the power of evil and death and mighty adversities are before it. Jehovah is a secure dwelling place of faith. We come to this, if we look at the 24th Psalm for a moment. We're not going to study it now, but just look at it for a second. The 24th Psalm is a Psalm of Christ as the King. Let's read it so quickly. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? The order is the declaration of the title. The earth is the Lord's in verses 1 and 2. Who shall rule this earth is found in verses 3 to 6. Verse 4, who hath clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul into vanity, and not sworn deceitfully, shall receive the blessings from the Lord, the righteousness from God of his salvation. It is a question of worthiness, and no one is worthy but the Lamb, Daniel 7, 13 and 14, Revelation 5, 3 to 10, and Matthew 25, 31 teaches. Verse 6, this is a generation of them that seek Him. They seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in, who is the King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in, who is the King of glory, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, the King of glory, takes His throne on the earth in verses 7 to 10. The Messianic Psalm of the King, the one who is our shepherd, will one day rule this earth. We have to have the same confidence in Him. He is now the head of the church, His mystical body and bride. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. When the earth is Jehovah's, who shall ascend His hill or stand in His holy place? Here remark, the door has become open to all. Only Jacob has the place of acceptance and proximity to Jehovah, but blessings and acceptance and favor from God, who is their salvation, are the portion of every one that has purified himself to seek God, who has placed his blessings in God, the character of such giving, but the Gentile who have had access to Jehovah's holy hill, Christ himself, and is there in the triumph of Jehovah's. Notice something. The blessings belong to the nation of Israel, to Jacob, to his seed. But we know from Ephesians chapter 3 that the barrier has been brought down in this dispensation. Jew and Gentile alike are brought in. And a new thing is formed, a new species, the species of the mystical body and bride of Christ. This brings us, 21:28, I said 18. And Abraham set 70 lambs of the flock by themselves. He selected out lambs. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which I set by themselves? He said, for these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called the place Beersheba, because they were swear, both of them. They made a covenant at Beersheba, that Abimelech rose up, and Pichol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba, and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistine land many days. It was here at Beersheba that the lamb was used, 7 lambs, to set aside and conform a covenant that was being made. And Abraham called on El Olam in the Hebrew, the everlasting God, El plus Olam. El is the primary name of God, Elohim. We've dealt with that. The Hebrew Olam is used in Scripture of a secret hidden thing in Leviticus 5:2. Hidden in 2 Kings 4:27, hidden in Psalms 10:1, and hidest. Secret thing hidden, Leviticus 5:2. Hid in 2 Kings 4:27. Hidest in Psalm 10:1. An indefinite age, time or age is used by Olam in Leviticus 25:32 at any time, Joshua 24:2 in old time. Hence the word is used to express the eternal duration of the being of God, Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Everlasting to everlasting, and is the Hebrew synonym of the Greek aeon, A-I-O-N, age or age. Not dispensation, now dispensation, nor economia, stewardship, age. The idea, therefore, of things kept secret or indefinite duration combined in the word. Both ideas adhere to the doctrine of the ages. There are among the mysteries of God, Ephesians 1:9-10 and 3:2-6 and Matthew 13:11. The everlasting God, El Olam, is therefore the name of deity in virtue of which he is God, whose wisdom has divided all time and eternity into the mystery of successive ages. Stewardship dispensations. It is not merely that he is everlasting, but that he is a God over everlasting things. Everything is under his control and his factor. He misses nothing. So we see that Abraham took 7 lambs, and from those he called upon El Elohim, upon God, the God of the everlasting ages. Then we see in verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. We saw in last class the typical lessons here. Isaac is a type of Christ obedient to death. We saw Philippians 2:5-8. Abraham was a type of the father who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, John 3:16 and Romans 8:32. The ram typified the substitution. Christ offered as a burnt offering in our stead, Hebrews 10:5-10. The resurrection, Hebrews 11:17-19, and James 2:21-23. Now we go back beyond this to an earlier pattern of a sacrifice. Genesis 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering of the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord respected to Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was all. His countenance fell. Abel means exaltation of that which ascends, is a type of the spiritual man. He sacrificed in which atoning blood was shed. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. And therefore at once his confession of sin, the expression of his faith, is in a position of the substitution, of the substitute lamb. Hebrews 11:4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's sacrifice was a type of Christ as the Lamb of God, the most consistent type of the suffering Messiah. The Lamb of God had taken away the sin of the world, John 1:29. A lamb fitly symbolizes the unresisting innocency and the harmlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Notice Christ came as a lamb. But remember, Jehovah was his shepherd. The Father was the humanity of Christ's lamb, so he led Christ there. The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested by Satan. We know this fact. It says in Mark, he drove him into the wilderness. God was God taking care of Jesus, of course, but he took him to the test that he had to be faced in life. If the Father would deliver the Son, then the Son will deliver those who belong to him. This becomes the confidence factor that we have to build upon. Christ was the Lamb. Luke 23:9. The question with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Herod tried to interrogate Christ, and Christ would not answer him. Matthew 26:53-54. Herod had no authority over him. He ignored the fact that Herod was a king. He didn't answer him. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall all the scriptures be fulfilled that must be? This was there when he was betrayed by Judas in the garden. He said, could I not call on these angels, legions of them? The type is brought into prominence by contrast in Abel with Cain's bloodless offering of the fruit of his own works, and proclaimed in the very infancy of the race the primal truth, without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin, Hebrews 9:22. Compared to Hebrews 11:4. So we see Christ here, the Lamb of God, pictured from the beginning of the human race, a sheep, a lamb that was brought and sacrificed, a ram that was sacrificed there, representing Christ. Revelation 22:3. We go from Genesis with the Lamb to Revelation 22:3. And there shall be no more curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. The Lord Jesus Christ will sit forever upon a throne in the New Jerusalem. the heavenly Jerusalem, which will be suspended over the new earth at the beginning of the dispensation, the fullness of time, as we've taught very clearly to you. We believe it's clear. There are those that would argue that point with us. They think this new Jerusalem comes down and hangs over the old earth during the millennium. I used to, but I became convinced it doesn't, because parallel pattern of Scripture, there is no jump back there. Revelation 22 waits to the fullness of time, a dispensation when there is no sin upon the earth, and Christ will sit upon the throne of God the Father, and the throne of the Lamb. A throne he will sit upon for all eternity, sharing it with the Father, but it's called the throne of God and of the Lamb. The Lamb chosen for sacrifice had to be faultless, male. He keepeth, keeping with the established estimate of animal perfection. Malachi 1:14. We're going to cover a lot of doctrine out of this psalm. I'm going to shock you, I think, before we're through, with how much we can learn building upon one psalm. Malachi 1:14. But cursed be he, be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. The sacrificial lamb had to be under 1 year old, meek, gentle, having a tractable nature. The offering lamb had to be kept whole, not a bone broken and roasted. Exodus 12:46. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth all of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. Psalm 34:20. Paschal lamb that night in Egypt. Now Psalm 34:20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. John 19:36. For these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. The lamb was a symbol of unity, unity of the family, unity of the nation, unity of God and his people, whom he had taken into relationship with himself. The offering of a lamb by a sinning Israelite could never result in redemption from sin. Such an offering was accepted by God in virtue of the sacrifice of his own Son as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Thus the question of Isaac, where is the Lamb, is answered by John the Baptist as he gazed upon the Savior, behold the Lamb of God. Genesis 22:7 compared to John 1:29. In the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ 27 times is called the Lamb. Now, we're not only to think of Jesus and learn of him as the Lamb in respect to the example he left us in his meekness. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. He becomes our example. Christ is our example. And in meekness he's seen, in patience, Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He practiced patience there. Does this not teach you something? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Christ manifested meekness. He manifested patience. 1 Peter 2:23. But when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. Submission to the Father. I mean, he didn't defend himself in his own rights. He stepped back and let them walk all over him. When it was the Father's will, he stood up when time was necessary, when it was unnecessary, as far as the Father's plan was concerned, not necessary as far as the human nature was concerned. Submission and sacrifice, Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. He went to the cross and sacrificed himself. He paid the price. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. John saw Christ as a lamb that had been newly slain, Revelation 5:6. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders to the Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God sent forth upon the earth. As God's Lamb, Jesus was ordained for bloodshedding before the world was. 1 Peter 1:19-20. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, wherefore you do well that you take heed. I'm sorry, that's 2 Peter. Let's take this passage first, though. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. This is Jesus being fully understood in our hearts as a glorified God-man. The Redeemer Savior, knowing this first, that no prophecy is a private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved upon those who prophesied and those who taught and did these things. Now look at 1 Peter 1:19. We've seen the prophecy of what Christ would be in the Old Testament, the reality of his life. Verses 19 and 20. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. But what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Taking patiently the test of this life, that our undeserved suffering, if we endure simply what we deserve, reaping what we've sown, and we can't get any glory out of that. And it is his shed blood that gives a spirit to the new song only the redeemed can sing, Revelation 5:9. Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us under our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. It is not difficult to follow the minute particulars concerning the Lamb of God. We've often missed the boat. Look at Revelation 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world system, the cosmos. In the sense of the present world system, the ethically bad sense of the word refers to order arrangement in which Satan has organized the world of unbelieving mankind upon his cosmic principles of force, greed, selfishness, ambition, and pleasure. And Matthew 4, 8, and 9 teaches this. John 12, 31, 14, 30, 18, 36, Ephesians 2, 2, 6, 12, 1 John 2, 15 to 17. The world system is imposing and powerful with armies and fleets. It is often outward religious, scientific, culture, and elegant, but seething with national and commercial rivalries and ambitions is upheld by any real crisis by armed force. It is dominated by satanic principles, says C.I. Schofield 100 years ago, and I agree with him. Now, the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world and the book of the life of the Lamb that was slain. God the Father in his decreed will knew, his directive will, the course of history for Jesus Christ as human nature. In the dispensation of the triune Godhead, eternity past, God the Father recognized the Son as the Lamb that would be slain before there was any creation. When he created the world, he knew that he was going to have to send his only beloved Son, his eternal Son of the eternal Father, to make atonement for our sins. He was going to do that. And the Son knew he was going to come and become the God-man. In his human nature, experienced the things of humanity, God experiencing something of a lower creation, man. Think about it. It's beyond our finite minds to fully comprehend the love of God and what he was revealing in that. Now, the lamb was to be chosen out of the flock, Exodus 12, 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him and the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus Christ became a human that he could be chosen out of the flock of the human nation, of the human race. The Lamb had to be without blemish and without spot, Hebrews 7, 26 and 27. For such as a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the peoples. For this he did once when he offered up himself. 1 Peter 2:22. Who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was to be roasted with fire, Leviticus 9:24. The lamb was to be roasted with fire, Leviticus 9:24. And there came out a fire from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. When all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their face. God sent the fire, took the offering. Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. His blood must be sprinkled on every house for the safety. Hebrews 9:20. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has joined for you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle, the vessels of ministry, and all those things are by law purged with blood and with remission. The shedding of blood is no remission. His flesh must be eaten according to the ordinance of God, John 6:53-55. All laid down the rules of Paschal Lamb on the night in Egypt. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last days, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. He that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in Capernaum. The synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum, With us, lambs are reared to provide two things. First, clothing. When a warm covering their wool provides, I used to have some wonderful Scottish wool made suits years ago, custom made in my heyday when I needed suits that much and had the funds to buy them. Comfort and cloth that lasted for years. I've still got one that the moss have gotten into a little bit that's still around. It's 20 plus years old, well, it's almost 30 years old, but it doesn't fit me anymore. I've lost so much weight, it hangs over me. Quality was there. What a warm covering their wool provides. Thus it is with the lamb. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against law, God, for it is not subject to the law. I'm sorry, I got the wrong verse here for you. Yes, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed anything can be, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, the issue is Christ. Look at verse 11. But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall be quickened your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Now go to Romans 13:14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereon. Put on Christ, you see. We're an evil, sinful person, but we need to put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Been baptized unto Christ, we put on Christ. Ephesians 1:6. It to the praise and the glory of his grace, where he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All right, Christ is our clothing. The Lamb is our clothing, and we put on Christ. The pattern for this was set up in Genesis chapter 3 with the sin of our ancestor Adam and Eve, the progenitors of the race. Verse 21, Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Coats the types of skins, types of Christ, made unto him unto us righteousness, the divinely provided garment, that the first sinners might be made fit for God's presence. Revelation 19:18. That ye might eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond. I'm sorry. I looked the wrong way through my notes. It should have been Genesis 19:8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Christ is our righteousness.